Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we meet in your presence this evening, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move among us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you will lead and guide us now as we come to study your word. I pray, Lord, that you will focus our hearts and steady our minds as we listen together. And I pray, Lord, that you will use me as your mouthpiece in a way that is honoring to you. In your name we pray. Amen. So this evening we continue looking at the book of Psalms in our series entitled Songs of the Heart. Tonight we reach Psalm 62. Now, if you're listening at a later date, then we're using the NIV Bible, and you can find the psalm on page 579. Psalm 62 is another psalm of confidence, a confidence that David has in finding rest in God alone, which coincidentally is our title tonight. Perhaps this is easier said than done. Psalm 62 isn't the easiest to apply. We've all suffered setbacks. We've all suffered threats. But I doubt very much that many of us have been in David's position, a position where evil men were threatening his life, where they schemed against him and tried to topple him as king. And on top of this, they wanted him dead. They wanted to kill him. Now, sport has previously played quite a pivotal role in my working life. I've had plenty of ups and downs as a hockey coach at an elite level. Some players loved me, lots of players didn't. Lots of them wanted to see the back of me. Conflict is always around the corner. It's the nature of the job. Someone can always do it better. Opinions matter, or so they say. In 20 years of hockey, lots of people have tried to get me sacked. But at least they only wanted my job. Nobody's threatened my life. Thankfully, nobody has wanted to murder me. Well, as far as I'm aware, that is. Evil men wanted to kill David. They wanted him murdered. Despite this real threat of death, David's mind was concentrated. David was wonderfully concentrated and fixed on writing this psalm. David wrote this psalm with the clear message: you will find rest in God alone if your salvation and refuge is in him. In life's most threatening times, God alone can bring you rest. Now, Psalm 62 is neatly divided into three sections for us. Now, firstly, we'll consider composure in threatening times, which looks at verses 1-4. And then we'll look at composure reaffirmed in verses 5-8. And then finally, we're going to look at a contrast presented by David in verses 9-12. A contrast which shows us what not to trust in and whom to trust in. But before we get to this contrast, let's look at these first two sections. Composure in threatening times. Now, we're going to do something a little bit unorthodox tonight. Whilst David begins this psalm in a state of calm as he waits on God, it's helpful to work our way back by looking first at his fierce enemies. These fierce enemies who were threatening him. Therefore, turn with me to verses 3-4. Let's read these first. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in his lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. David's confidence and faith were in God alone. Yet he had these words. Look at the beginning of verse 3. How long will you assault a man? David rebuked all those who persisted in attacking him. David here is being threatened. He's being threatened with his life. It's possible that David wrote this psalm in the context of Absalom's rebellion. These threats have been prolonged, as seen by David's cry of how long. In the New King James Version, it translates the second half of verse 3 as, "You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence." This version makes it David's words against his enemies. But others think that David himself was the leaning wall, weak and set upon. Set upon by his enemies as they worked together to bring him down. They wanted to topple him from his role as king by assassinating him. They spread lies. They used flattery. They told David he was a great king. Yet inwardly, they cursed him and wanted him dead. The second part of verse 4 there, look. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. So you will face times when you are threatened, like David. But hopefully, you'll never have anyone plotting to kill you. If you're in any kind of leadership position, in the church or in business, you will have times when you are attacked. You'll be criticized. You'll be slandered. You'll be threatened. I know at least one pastor who left the ministry because of disapproval. Disapproval from the same people who put him in place to begin with. In the end, he couldn't handle the criticism. He couldn't handle the criticism that inevitably came with the job. It is important to remember, though, that the Bible never promises exemption from such threats. Rather, it shows us what to do when you're under threat. With me to verses 1 and 2 now, because when threatened, make God alone your salvation. Verse 1, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. When we are threatened, we should find rest in God alone. God is all you need. He provides the respite from attackers. In many of the Psalms, David begins with despair. He tells of his great need and describes his present crisis. Here, David begins by declaring his great confidence and trust in God. David clearly writes Psalm 62 during a time of immense trouble. Yet the Psalm asks God for nothing. It's full of faith and trust. There is no fear, there's no despair, there's no appeal, there's no anger. And it'd be very easy to angrily complain to God. We can either complain to God, citing, well, we don't deserve this, or we can submit to God, agreeing with the promises he has given us. We can give supremacy to his word and bow before his sovereignty. Remember Job? God took his possessions, his children and his health. Yet Job responded in Job 1 verse 21 with, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now, it is important to recognize that Job did wrestle with God later in the book. He wrestled through his pain and his complaints against God. But by the end of the book, he again bowed before God's sovereign hand. 42 verse 2 in Job, I know that you can do all things. No plans of yours can be thwarted. Then in 1 Peter 5 verse 6, it mentions under the mighty hand of God. We need to humble ourselves under that mighty hand of God. Because when we do this, and only when we do this, will we find rest in God alone. David goes on to say in verse 2 of our psalm that he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. The use of he alone suggests David was completely focused upon God. He focused on God alone for his strength and refuge, nobody else. He recognized that God was his fortress and that he should never be shaken. God alone is David's rock, David's salvation, David's fortress. Can the same be said for you? Do you find rest in God alone? Will you, because you all will face times when you'll come under threat and attack. And when this happens, you need to make God alone your salvation. Will you do that? In this next section, David repeats what he said in these first couple of verses. Now, there are one or two slight variations, but the theme is the same. So why does David do this? Why does he reaffirm his composure? Well, in verses 3 and 4, he was thinking about his enemies. He was thinking about them and the threat they represented. Despite saying he shall never be shaken back in verse 2, I would suggest that that's far easier said than done. Under severe threat, I'm sure our human nature will shake us, even if it's just a little, even if it's just a very little. We might have to reaffirm our composure to regain our peace in God. So how do you do this? Well, you should repeat these truths whenever you falter. Look at verses 5 to 7. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Now, there's enough evidence here to suggest that David is talking to himself. And I know plenty of people who talk to themselves. I'm one of them. I often try and cajole myself into doing something. I have to remind myself. And that is what David is doing right here. He's reminding himself of the truths. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, you must remind yourself of God, who God is and what God is, and what God has done and what God has pledged himself to do. That's exactly what David does in Psalm 62. He reminds himself with lots of descriptions of who God is. My hope comes from God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be moved. My honor depends on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. David uses the word my 9 times in total in these 3 verses. It's also worth noting that God is directly named twice, and on 5 other occasions, he's referred to by him or he. David knew God personally. He was his hope, his rock, his salvation, his strength, and his refuge. If you want rest when faced with life's threats, you must know God. You must know God personally. And you must continue to remind yourself of who he is. In Psalm 62, David is wrestling under these life-threatening attacks. He's wrestling to keep these comforting truths at the center of his mind. Isn't this true of all of us? How often do you say, I trust in God alone? Yet you just kind of give God a token nod of trust. And then you use your own strengths. You put together your own plans and methods to deal with threats. Instead, you should depend on God. You should wait on him. You should let him guide your plans and methods. He should be your focus. God will deliver you. You must fight, like David, to make God your own. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. If you trust in your own plans and methods, you'll fail. But if God alone is your rock, you will stand firm. David then tells us in verse 8, to trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And that is exactly what we should do. We should trust in him always and encourage others to do the same. David gives sound advice here. It's a great verse of real encouragement. David is telling us how to survive these threats of life. David felt what was good for him was good for others too. As a leader of God's people, he spoke wisdom to them. David reminded them that God was worthy of their trust at all times. He trusted in God. He poured out his heart to God. He took refuge in God. He's telling us all to do the same. What God was to David during these threats to his life, he can be to you. God can be your salvation and place of rest during your difficult times. How can this be achieved? Well, the answer, by pouring your heart out to him. God invites his people to pour out their hearts. Samuel Parnham reminded us of this morning in his prayer. We thank you that you're always with us and we can talk to you day and night. We thank you for the promise that you will always be with us and will never leave us. That was Samuel, little Samuel Parnham. You should pour out your sorrows, your anxieties, doubts and joys to him. All of it. Leave nothing out. Unburden yourself in prayer to God. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How often do you bottle up your troubles within your heart? How often do you allow your troubles to drive you to despair? How often do you seek to solve your troubles without God? The answer is to pour out your heart to God, because God cares for you. You can take refuge in him. We need to remember these truths David outlines in this section, because whenever we falter, we need to place these truths front and center. We need to remember to trust in him at all times. We need to encourage others to do the same. We've now seen how David stays composed during threatening times, and we've also seen now how David reaffirms his composure when he falters. Now we'll see how David concludes our psalm. He concludes it with a contrast, showing us what not to trust and repeating again who to trust. Look at verses 9 and 10. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. David tells us in these two verses, do not trust in men, stolen goods or riches. This psalm speaks much about trusting in God alone. Now David explains why it was important to not trust in man. David does not hold back on his understanding of men. He says low-born men, men with a low social status are just a breath. But high-born men, those with influence and power, are but a lie. Together they are nothing. They're only a breath. There is no substance there worthy of trust. And because of this, you should not trust in men. If you do, you're putting your hope in nothing more than thin air. David also goes on to say that we should not take pride in stolen goods. David had seen men take advantage through cruel and dishonest gains. He warned the people against this. How does the saying go? Pride always comes before a fall. Now, my father used to say that pretty often to me. You can't gain anything from stolen goods apart from dirty, evil hands. They will never justify the evil used to get them in the first place. Finally, David tells us not to trust in riches. When David became king, he became a very wealthy man. But it wasn't always like this. In his early years, he lived in deep poverty. David knew what it was to see riches increase, and he knew the foolishness of setting one's heart on them. You shouldn't take unnecessary pleasure from your riches. You shouldn't make them the source of all joy in your life. You shouldn't place your hopes and securities in them. Often when you do, you grow proud and arrogant. You lack humility. Your riches will only ever get you so far. You should not trust in men, stolen goods, or riches. Rather, trust in the love and power of God alone. Look at those last couple of verses in our psalm, verses 11 through to 12. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. David concludes the psalm with two things he's heard when God spoke. Firstly, he recognizes that God is strong and that he is powerful. That power belongs to God and to none other. Secondly, he recognizes that God is loving, that love comes from God and that God cares for him. That is why David was so determined to trust in God and God alone. David ends with an acknowledgement that David will reward those who follow him. Those that follow God have that promise of eternal rest in heaven. God may be ignored and rejected by many in this world. People reject his love and his help. Don't you be one of them. Spurgeon said, "Man never helps nor rewards us. God will do both. God will provide rest for his people if you faithfully trust in him. Place your trust in the God of power and love, nobody else." So as we draw to a close this evening, how can we apply Psalm 62? David writes this psalm whilst a real threat to his life looms large. He faces the constant threats of his enemies posed in verses 3 and 4. Yet, his thoughts focus primarily on God. He stays composed. He reminds himself of the truths his relationship with God brings. He identifies God and God alone as his place of rest and salvation. Because of this assurance, because of this relationship he has, he does not fear his enemies. He casts his anxieties on God. He knows that God cares for him. He knows God is his refuge. He knows that he can trust in God and God alone. In verse 7, he encourages others to do the same. He encourages others like you and me to trust in him at all times. You may not face the same threats that David had to endure, but you will face some threatening times. This coronavirus poses a real threat to us all right now. It appears for a second time like it's closing in and around us. I'm sure some of you are anxious about it. I'm sure you're worried. But if you believe in God's sovereignty, if you trust in his plans, then you needn't be. You should seek to find rest in God alone. When you are threatened, make God alone your salvation. Continually remind yourself of the truths that David presents here in this psalm. If you are in a right relationship with God, then he will bring you rest. You should trust in God alone, nothing else. You should trust in the power and the love of God. He is in control. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our fortress. The Lord is our salvation. Amen.